Senator Cassidy, thanks for joining us. You postponed a meet and greet in Ruston, Louisiana this week because of rising cases there. And we know that most regions are seeing cases and hospitalizations grow, some dramatically. We also know Louisiana now ranks third for new coronavirus cases per capita. How concerned are you about the virus's spread here?
Very concerned. It's one of those things that if you relax, it begins to spread once more. And you don't know anybody who's infected, you tend to lower your guard, and then it blossoms. Blossoms, actually, I shouldn't use, because that suggests something beautiful like a flower. No, it explodes. And that's what we've seen of late in other states, fortunately not here, but you look at Texas and Florida and Arizona, it's just kind of exploded there, parts of California. And so we don't want that to happen. It's going to be just a concerted effort. How do we suppress?
You're a doctor yourself, so you know how important it is for people to heed the guidance of medical professionals. And I wondered how concerned you are that their message is not getting out.
Well, I think the message is getting out. People know to wear a mask. They know if they have symptoms to stay at home. But in part, it's that we're seeing spread among those who, even if they're infected, don't really have symptoms, and rarely do they have complications. A lot of the increased cases in Louisiana are among younger people. I think that's true nationwide. I've been watching, and our number of hospitalizations and ICU beds occupied has been flat. But the number of cases has grown. It just makes sense. It's most likely among young people. And you hear, you know, well-publicized incidences of parties on street corners in New Orleans or bars in Tigerland and Baton Rouge or just go around the state. So it's younger people driving it. Unfortunately, younger people can infect those who are at risk. And so even though they rarely have complications, we would still ask younger people to be careful.
And I take that point. Certainly, we are seeing younger people getting more sick in this sort of era, we could say, of the virus. But
infected, not necessarily sick.
More infected. But we do know at the same time, some regions, Lake Charles, I'm thinking of Lafayette as well, their hospitalizations have been growing dramatically. And they, you know, doctors at those hospitals say they think older people are getting sick because younger people are going out and catching the virus and bringing it home. And I wanted to ask you about mask wearing specifically, because we found this week that a number of Louisiana politicians have derided mask wearing or suggested it's not necessary or suggested mask mandates are a terrible idea. What do you make of that?
Well, I can only speak for myself. Jesus said, quoting the Old Testament, what Christians call the Old Testament, that to do unto others as you would have them do unto you is the basis of the law and the prophets. And so I'm really wearing a mask to protect other people from me, not as much me from other people. So I just take it as, okay, I'm protecting others. Now, by the way, if I'm walking around the lake with my wife and we're staying 6 feet from everybody except each other, I don't wear a mask because we're socially distancing, we're outside, obviously ventilated, so there's less concern. But I do try, if I go to the hardware store, to wear the mask so that when I go in, that I would not expose other people.
Testing is being reduced in New Orleans and by Ochsner Health, and there's concerns that as demand grows across the country, shortages will come with that. What are your concerns around testing and contact tracing as well? We know that that has not gone particularly well here in Louisiana.
Yeah, it hasn't gone well across the nation. But it is critical. So I actually had a conversation last night with Deborah Birx, who's on the president's team, and have had communications. Russell Honoré, the general whom we all remember so affectionately for helping after Katrina, has connected me with some folks up at Harvard and speaking to people at ULL and LSU and Pennington. All, you know, what can I do with this network to try and bring different approaches to how we could do contact tracing and to increase the supply of testing. I think it's fair to say it's a work in progress because there continues to be those shortages. But it's something that both on a legislative level I'm working on, okay, let's get more funding, but also on a relationship level. Wait a second, these folks have a tremendous idea. If perhaps I could mention it to Dr. Birx, that may percolate it up and get it implemented, which then feeds back to Congress, because Birx may say, well, listen, we need Congress to give us permission. So just however I can, working to address those issues you just raised.
We also know that a vaccine is still a long way off, meaning people's jobs, their schools, their communities remain in this limbo created by the pandemic. And another shutdown is possible. Where is the Senate at with implementing a second stimulus package? And what should that package entail, do you think?
It's projected that we'll pass something out maybe July, possibly September. But I think there'll be, for children, people have spoken about, and I've got a bill sponsored, how do we get dollars to elementary schools, high schools, colleges, to allow them to retrofit so that children can come to school and be safe. A good example is that you might want to put in no-touch sinks. The child just waves their hand beneath the faucet. They wash their hands, but they don't have to touch the nozzle, which hopefully would decrease transmission. So what do you do to help schools and colleges retrofit? There's going to be a lot of money for that. There's going to be more money for testing. There'll be more money for families, unemployment perhaps, more targeted probably than what we had last time. And then maybe some liability protection. A lot of businesses are afraid and colleges are afraid they cannot reopen. Somebody may go to school. The school's done everything right, but then the student goes to a bar and gets infected but blames it on the school. So there's probably going to have to be some safe harbors there. If you do everything right, you have a legal safe harbor. And maybe a few more things that I'm personally working on. I have a paid family leave bill that would, at no cost to the taxpayer, allow families to have a little extra dollars in their pocket when their child is first born. Right now, families are under a lot of stress, so we're trying to figure out how can we help families deal with the stress.
I'm glad you brought up schools, because I did want to ask, given the current situation, do you think schools need to reevaluate their plans for the fall? And perhaps, you know, we're hearing calls maybe from teachers to really restrict the reopening of schools and rely more on distance education.
I think schools absolutely have to reopen if they can reopen safely. Why do I say that? Because there's the group that has paid the highest price under COVID relative to their risk of having problems are children. Period. End of story. If you're 5 years old, you may get COVID. You're never going to have a symptom almost, unless you have some severe underlying health problem. But you're only five once in your life. When you're five, you learn just by walking down the street. Somebody says a word in another language, but in that context, you understand exactly what that word means. We wish we could all be five for the rest of our lives. But no, you're only five once. So if you miss that year of your life when you're 5 years old, then you really are out of luck. And by the way, it disproportionately impacts people whose parents have to work. Because not only does the parent have to work and rely upon the school to care for the child while they work, to provide for the family so they can eat, but maybe that family doesn't have internet at home. Maybe the child doesn't have a computer at home. Or if they're at home and parents have to work, then they have no one to guide their instruction. The opportunity cost for children has been huge. Now, I do think we can safely reopen. And I've been speaking to people in home health agencies in which they have personnel going into the homes of people with COVID. And out of like, I don't know, one person told me out of like 40,000 visits, they only had five confirmed infections of COVID. Now, these are all adults seeing people who have COVID. And so if you take a child who's not necessarily being exposed to COVID, but you still have precautions, you can make 5 out of 40,000, 0 out of 250. I do think we need to reopen schools, and we can do it safely. We just have to have the will to do it safely.
Under current state guidance, students will have their temperatures checked when they arrive at school. But as a medical professional, are you concerned that school buses themselves may actually become sites of community spread?
Well, of course you have to worry about that. But on the other hand, if the children are wearing masks and if they are, you know, sitting apart from each other, then probably not. There's a lot of evidence out there that children really don't spread the infection that much. They don't get sick as much and they don't spread the infection as much, particularly if the child has no symptoms. If the child's coughing, sneezing, runny nose, that's one thing. Stay at home, don't come to school. But if the child is asymptomatic, there's just a lot of evidence that they're not spreading the infection that much. So if we are science-based, if we're looking at what doctors and health professionals are learning, then I think we can draw a lot of comfort as we attempt to safely reopen.
Senator Bill Cassidy, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Rosemary.